In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 122 or 123 in a Protestant Bible is the fourth of the songs or psalms of ascents. And it's actually the first of these. There's 15 in total, but it's the first one that is a prayer directed to God entirely. There's only one verse in the previous three psalms that address God directly. The rest of the verses are talking about God. But here we begin to address God directly. And in the first, or actually in the second of these psalms, we raise up our eyes to the mountains, but in this psalm we begin to lift our eyes directly to the Lord himself, and step by step we're climbing higher spiritually. The psalm is used a great deal during the Lenten services. The first half of this psalm is actually the psalm verse or the stikos at the apostica during daily vespers, and then the second half of this psalm is the second psalm verse. So the psalm is read in its entirety at vespers on weekdays throughout Lent. And that is a good indication that this is a psalm that is a penitential psalm. It's also a lament. And a lament is a psalm that's talking about the bad situation that the person who's praying is in, but it's looking to God in faith as the one who is going to provide deliverance. St. John Chrysostom suggested that this psalm was written during the Babylonian captivity, and that certainly fits the words that you find in the psalm. Some people place it in the time after the exiles had returned and they were trying to rebuild and they were suffering under the people who were around them that were persecuting them. But in either case, it's connected with this exile that was related to their sins and the misery that they endured as a result of that. It begins actually with the resolution of the psalm. It begins with what am I supposed to do with all these problems that he talks about. It begins with, "Unto thee I have lifted up mine eyes, unto thee that dwellest in heaven." The Psalms very often put things out of order, and if you don't pay attention, you won't really understand them. For example, in Psalm 118, there's a verse that says, "Before I was humbled, I transgressed." And you have to think about that a moment. What does it mean, "Before I was humbled, I transgressed"? Well, when I transgressed, then I was humbled, is what that's saying. I was humbled because of the results of my sin and God's disciplining hand that caused me to be humbled. And so the humbling was a good thing that came out of that, but the sin was what got you there. That goes on to say, well, actually, at the very end of the psalm that you find out what it is that he's lifting up his eyes to God about. It says, have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, for greatly are we afflicted with abasement. Greatly hath our soul been filled therewith. Let reproach come upon them that prosper, and abasement upon the proud. So when it says, greatly we've been filled with abasement, greatly hath our soul been filled with it. So we've been filled up to the brim with abasement. And if you put this in the context that St. John puts it, in the context of the Babylonian captivity, we have the people of Judah who were in a foreign land, and they were slaves to the Babylonians. They had been a free people. But the Babylonians had destroyed their nation, they had leveled the city of Jerusalem, and they had destroyed the temple. And God allowed all of this to happen to punish them, because despite many prophets, one after another, coming to the people of Judah and warning them that this was going to happen to them if they didn't repent, they continued on their merry way until they finally got the inevitable results of turning their back on God. And then now they find themselves as slaves in a foreign land, away from their homes, and they're the objects of contempt of their enemies. Sin always leads to an abasement. And the further we go and the deeper we fall into sin, the greater the abasement that we're going to be filled with. And in the end, we find ourselves slaves to sin and far away from God. So the question is, what are we supposed to do? That's what the psalm is about. What do we do about that to free ourselves from the slavery to sin? And the answer is, it's by looking to our true master, the master we treated with contempt and ignored until the heavy hand of punishment came upon us and we realized the state that we wound up in. It goes on to say, "Behold, as the eye of servants look unto the hands of their masters, as the eyes of the handmaid look unto the hands of her mistress, so do our eyes look unto the Lord our God, until he take pity on us." The people in Babylon, the Babylonian captives, this would not have been some foreign imagery that they were talking about. They were literally slaves, and so they knew what it was like to have a master that you had to look to, and you had to be attentive to, and you had to be very concerned about his wants and his needs, because that hand could be raised to punish you, and that hand could be lifted to give you what it was that you needed, but you were completely dependent upon your master for everything that you received. And what the psalm is telling us is that instead of the masters that we suffer under on earth, we need to look to God, who is our true master, and live as a servant completely at his mercy, realizing that is the case, that we don't have any means of delivering ourselves. We can do nothing apart from God. We're completely dependent upon him. A servant keeps his eyes on his master's hands. If you've ever been a waiter or a waitress, you get some idea of this. I mean, it's not quite the same thing, but if you want to get that tip and you're waiting tables, You try to stay away when they're talking because people want to visit. They don't want their waiter constantly interrupting. But on the other hand, you're watching to see, is there some indication that they need something? And as soon as you see that they're looking at their empty glass, or they're kind of lifting up their head because they're looking to see where you're at, you immediately go over there because you're trying to please the people who you're wanting that tip from. Well, if you're a slave, it's all the more true that you're trying to please your master, because it's either going to be good treatment that you're going to get, or it could be bad treatment if you don't take care of your master. With God, we know that he loves us. He's like a loving father. You know, slavery would not be a bad thing if you had a master that loved you so much that he wanted to do everything for you. He wanted to give you the very best that you could possibly have. It's only when you have a bad master that slavery is a bad thing. But if you had someone who was always looking out for whatever was for your benefit, that would be a master whose yoke would be very easy. And that's the master that we have. But like a father will discipline his children when they need it because he knows that it's for their good, we can and often are disciplined by God when we disobey him, when we're not looking to him. So we have to learn to keep our eyes on him and not be distracted by everything else, not look to ourselves, not look to princes or the sons of men, but to look to God as the only person who can help us. And the psalm ends with, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, for greatly are we filled with abasement. Greatly hath our soul been filled therewith. Let reproach come upon them that prosper, and abasement on the proud." Only God can pity us. He can show us pity. Only he can have mercy. And we don't ask God to give us our due. In other words, we're not asking God to give us justice. We're not asking God to give us what is owed to us. We're asking him to show us mercy, because we don't deserve what it is we're asking for him to give to us. We pray that God will deliver us from the contempt of our enemies, which are the devil and his demons, and instead that they would suffer reproach and abasement as God frees us from their grasp and enables us to live for him. And the question is, how do we get there? And the answer is in the very first verse, by doing what the psalm told us to do. Looking to God, unto thee have I lifted up mine eyes, unto thee that dwellest in heaven. St. Paul, in the Epistle to the Romans, in chapter 7, there's this long section where he talks about a man who's struggling with sin. And he says, "I do the things that I would not do, and I don't do the things that I would do." And it's a very pitiful situation that he's describing for a person to be in. And then at the end of the chapter, he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" In other words, the spiritual death that I'm in when I'm in this state that he's describing. And he answers it, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And then he begins the next chapter, chapter 8, by saying, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death." Amen.